The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Good morning, church. You picked an awesome day to come to church. I'm just telling you, all right? This is something called the state of the church, and my dream growing up was to be the president of the United States of America, and I didn't get to do that, and I'm a pastor, so I get to do a state of the church. President does state of the union, I give the state of the church, and so it's code language for our annual business meeting, all right, annual business meeting, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Some of your eyes glazed over when I said those words, but I promise you we are going to have a lot of fun. First off, I want to give a shout out to our youth, a big group of our students participated. Yeah, they don't even know why they're cheering for you yet. Big group of our students participated in something called Fine Arts this past weekend. They did a phenomenal job. They were in all what it is. It's a mechanism to develop giftings and callings in our students. And so there's categories like short sermon and children's lesson and drama and human video and poetry and rap and musical instruments and singing and I mean on and on and on and on. Photography, and our students participated and they did really. They also did. Really good. I'm glad they participated, but the competitive side of me, I like that they also did really good. Anyone relate? And so I want to tell you about it real quick. The way it works is a state level competition, and then the top ones are invited to the national competition that's in Houston in August. And so we had several that were invited to go to nationals. We had a large drama called Long Story Short. Jose, Brianna, Stephanie, Abby, and Isabella. We're all in that. There it is. They were invited to go to nationals. And then, this one's impressive to me. They're all impressive, but this one's really impressive. Isabella was invited both in vocal solo in English and vocal solo in Spanish. All right. I can't sing in either language, so that's pretty impressive. And then there were some others that were invited, but they also got what they call the Award of Merit. It was like the creme de la creme, the best of the best, all right? And so Harvest came home with 5 Award of Merits. I'm so proud of these guys. So large drama called Awkward Moments. You'll probably get to see this one in an upcoming week. Millie, Mercy, Libby, Eli, Joseph, and Angel all were in that one. And they got to perform the picture you're seeing. They performed on the main stage in front of like 2,000 people, or I made that number up, 50,000 people. I really don't know. It was a lot of people, all right? And they did that. And then there were several individuals that were invited and also got the Award of Merit. So Angel got 2 Award of Merits. Children's Lesson and Children's Literature. He literally wrote a kid's book, all right? It's incredible. And he was on the main stage. He's doing his lesson, and he had all these visuals. He's pouring stuff into jars and teaching a best sermon ever. Thank you. I feel, Angel, come take over. I don't know. So I think he's going to sell his book to help pay for his trip to Houston if you need Christmas present for your kids or grandkids or something. And then Jose got the Award of Merit in poetry. And then he took this awkward photo after. And we're sorry for that. And then my daughter, I'm proud of all of them, but maybe more proud of my daughter. She won the Award of Merit in sign language solo. So proud of our students. Way to go. You'll get to see some of those in some upcoming weeks. So today, I have a lot to do. I'm gonna talk fast because we have a lot to do. But on your way in, some of you already received this. We have a packet. If you did not get one and you want one, you can just raise your hand. Our hospitality team is ready. They're going to bring it to you. If you're a guest, you can have one. If you're a member, you can have one. If you like me, you can have one. If you don't like me, you can have one. Doesn't really matter. If you like Lisa, you get two. I'll explain it a little bit, and we'll work through it here in just a moment. And so, if you're not familiar, as a nonprofit, we have a constitution and bylaws that dictates how we operate and some of the governmental structure. And so, one of the requirements is we have to have an annual business meeting. And in the past, we would do them like on a Sunday night, and like 10 people would show up, and I mean it was boring, and so we tried to figure out like how can we change this? We want more involvement, we want participation, and really one of our core values, we want fun. We want it to be an enjoyable time as we celebrate all that God has done through our church in the last year. And so this is what we came up with. We've done it several years like this now. We do it on a Sunday, and that way everyone gets to hear the same thing. And so I hope you'll enjoy today. And we also are going to do a life hack today. We're going to talk about how to hack satisfaction. Okay. So we got a lot to accomplish. And so on your way in, if you're a member, or I'll just say this, if you're a regular, you've already signed in. If not, if you can sign in on your way out, but I do want to say we do have enough that signed in to officially have a quorum. There's a minimum number we have to have to be able to do business. We do have a quorum, so I'm going to call our meeting officially to order. And again, if you're a guest, like, this is not normal. We don't normally call our services to order, right? So I'm kind of mixing a couple of things here, and so we're going to call it to order. And I want to start by introducing you to our board members. We have a fantastic group of men who surround me and help. They do their very, very best to keep me in line. They succeed a lot of the time, and then a lot of the time I'm running too fast. They can't keep up with me. But they really help me so much. We meet every month. They're helping oversee major decisions. We look at the finances. They're keeping me accountable. And I just absolutely love this group of men. So I'm going to introduce you. If you're here, you can stand. Guy Gleason, Jose Padilla, Tom Russell, Mark Howell, Ben Medina, and Justin Serrano. So a couple of them are in here. The rest are probably serving somewhere at this time. And Jose and Guy, if you could join me up here for just a moment. Jose and Guy, I don't even know how many years these guys have served off and on and off and on as board members. We joke that Jose, it's not a joke, but we joke with him because he's a charter member. And I think he changed my diaper when I was a kid, and now we're close to changing his. So, burn back to each other. We love each other, as you can tell. But Guy and Jose are actually cycling off of the board at this time. They're not leaving the church. They're not mad. Like, it's a good thing. There's just this, I don't think they are anyway. No, they're not. It's just a natural kind of cycle here, and they're cycling off. And so I wanted to just honor you guys and say thank you. I was kind of reminiscing. Guy was the board member that was kind of the point person when I called to inquire about coming to be the pastor. He was the guy that I called and talked to him. And I love both of these men and their families. They mean so, so much to Lisa and I, and I'm just so thankful. You've gone along with the great adventure. So 23 years at the church and 27 years at the church. It's absolutely incredible. So give them a hand real quick. Bring me one of those. So I have a gift for each of you, okay? These are from a company called Man Crate. This one is called Taco Mania Crate, and it goes to you, Jose. And when you open it, it's heavy, right? There's a wooden crate inside, and it comes with your own little pry bar to open it up. So you're going to open it up and find all kinds of fun taco stuff in there. And Guy, I got you a different one. I got you the Pit Master crate, because I know you like to grill and smoke meats and stuff. So there's that. And so I love you guys. This is just, you know me. This is a part of my love language, and just honor you guys and appreciate you so, so much. Thank you for your leadership here. And you can get off the board, but you can't quit leading. So love you guys. Give these guys a hand one more time. So because they're rotating off, we have two vacant spots. So several weeks ago, according to our bylaws, we announced that this would be happening. We opened it up for nominations, and there were two people that were nominated, and then we had to put a committee together, and we vetted the two individuals and went through the process and made sure they were willing to serve. And so we've already done all of that. And so this morning, we're also going to vote to replace these two positions. We have two candidates, and the first one is Frank Galvin. And Frank and Laverne, will you stand for me? They're right here. I want you to see them. Frank and Laverne were at our Rio Rancho campus before it was a Rio Rancho campus, and I stole this picture off one of your Facebooks. So, then they've been over at this campus for a little while, and they're just an absolute wonderful family. They're already serving in several capacities. That's one of the things I look for. Is I don't want someone who's going to begin to serve because we give them a title. I want them to already be serving, and we recognize that, and so they're already doing that. They're faithful. They're amazing. Lisa and I love them so much. And so we're going to vote in just a moment. We're going to vote for Frank and Laverne to join our team in this capacity. And if you're just joining us, I'll just give you this disclaimer. What is about to happen is by far the strangest thing that will happen. Well, I can't guarantee that. Mitch is here. But it's definitely a strange thing that will happen. All right. So the way we vote, most churches, you would say all those in favor, and it'd be like a yay or a nay. But we vote like pirates here, okay? I don't know why. It started, and I can't stop it. So I brought an eye patch this morning. And so, Frank, we're going to vote on you to join our... I'm teasing. I can't do that. Lisa threatened to leave, not me, but church, the service, if I did that. She left the first service, so we're going to vote like pirates, and so I'm going to say all those in favor, and if you're in favor of Frank joining our board, then you're just going to go, arr, and you have to do the arm motion. Like, you can't, it's more fun if you do it. Just participate, I promise you, all right? And if you don't like Frank and you don't want him to do this, then you're going to join me up here, and you're going to walk the plank, okay? Totally kidding. Mercy dared me to say that, and I told her I would. But no, really, we're going to vote here in just a moment. And you know what? I want you to know this. We are having fun, and I'm joking and laughing. But listen, a lot of prayer, a lot of thought, a lot of time has gone into this. It's not a decision that we take lightly. The men that surround me on the board, it's a big commitment. There's a lot involved, and I'm always thankful when we find qualified people who are willing to go on this journey with us. And so thank you guys in advance. We voted in the first service, and they voted for him. And so I told him between services, I said, you're half voted in. There's still time to get out, right? And he didn't. He didn't run. They're still willing to do it. And so with that, here's how this works. I'm going to make a motion that we elect Frank to serve a term as a board member, and I need a second so that we can officially vote. Is there a second? There's a second back here, and a third, and a fourth. I see that hand. $20 for all of you in the offering. Thank you. So, and all those in favor of Frank joining our board, say, arg. And I love it. This is so fun. And anyone against? Good. Thank you. Give him a hand. Now you can't get out. Now it's for real. All right. Our second one that we're voting on is Dan and Tammy O'Brien. And they are actually not here. They had a cruise planned months ago. And they're like, we'll do it, but we can't be there that day. And I'm like, well, take us with you on the cruise. And, you know, and they couldn't work that out. So Dan and Tammy, you know, probably a lot of you will know them. Dan serves on our worship team, and they serve on our hospitality team, and they host a lot of stuff for us. They did our men's fight night. They do a lot. They're already, again, just like Franklin, we're very, very involved. And when I went to, I met with Dan, I said, hey, would you consider this? And I love it. I love it because he goes, Pastor, I have been praying that God would open a door for me to be able to help you in that way. Like, I feel like I have giftings that will really help me to, but and, man, I can't believe you're asking me. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I absolutely love it. And so I'm really excited. And so we're going to vote on them, even though they're on a cruise and we're all a little bit jealous that they're there and we're not. So don't hold it against them. All right. And so, yeah. And he said free Chick-fil-A for everyone who votes for him. Just kidding, but you can try. You can totally try. You can go there and you can ask, all right? So all those in favor of Dan and Tammy joining our board in this way, say arg. Arr. Anyone against? Thank you. Give them a hand. They're not here, but the first thing you'll find in your packet is a copy of our minutes from last year's State of the Church, the 2017. We always hold it about this time. It was March 26th last year. We had a quorum. We did this. And you can read, so I'm not going to insult you. You can go through that. I'll just point out a couple of things. Last year, we reelected Justin Serrano to serve for a 3-year term. We also announced, and this is all in there, our plan to go to 2 services starting Easter Sunday. That means we're almost at it 1 year now of going to 2 services. That was a big deal because what that meant is we needed a lot of people to step up, to serve in hospitality and kids and worship and lots of different areas. And you've done that. And so we've been you know, just plowing away at 2 services. We're coming up on a year on that. And then you'll also see in there that Jason Sarah became our campus pastors at Rio Rancho. So if you don't know it, we have 2 other campuses. We have a campus in Rio Rancho and a campus in northern New Mexico in Cuesta up north of Taos. And so last year we were in a transition and we were looking for campus pastors. Jason and Sarah were serving here and we moved them to become the campus pastors in Rio Rancho. And so I'm going to give you just a moment longer if you're trying to read through this. And we have a quick update video from Jason and Sarah. Why don't you check this out?
Hey Harvest, Jason Sarah here, coming to you from Rio Rancho campus. We just wanted to give you an update on the amazing things that God is doing here at Rio Rancho. One of them being that we're getting super involved with a local elementary school literally right behind us here, MLK Elementary, Martin Luther King Elementary. We're super excited to be involved there, and we are hoping and praying, our hope and our prayer is that we would get as involved the Taylor Ranch campus is with Marie Hughes. So be in prayer that God would continue to open doors there for us to get more involved in the community right here in Rio Rancho. Also, we are super excited. Easter Sunday, we are moving to a new service time. We're going to be at 11 o'clock as opposed to the early 9 o'clock. So we're super excited about that, super happy with that. And we just love Harvest. We're so thankful and grateful for amazing pastors like Jason and Lisa.
Thank you all for your continued support and prayer, and we love you all.
Love our Rio Rancho family. If you don't know, Jason and Sarah are also expecting twins. Just found out 2 boys. And I've been teasing that our campus pastors are committed to building the church one way or another. It's going to grow, all right? We know that in this year, it's going to grow at least by 2. And we're excited. These guys are doing a really, really fantastic job. So not to rush you, but part of what we need to do is to accept these minutes to officially put them in our records. So if you've had time, is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented? There's a motion from Leah. Is there a second? Antoinette, thank you. And all those in favor, say arg. It's fun, right? Am I wrong or No, I'm not wrong. All right, so quick staff update. I want to talk about real quick. Russ and Jamie have been with us for about 4 years now, and they've been serving in various capacities, primarily as our worship pastors. And just so you know, that's a very part-time thing that they do. They really honestly do it out of the kindness of their hearts and their love for us and for Harvest. And we've been really thankful. When we moved to New Mexico, we enrolled our kids at Hope, and our daughter ended up in the same class as their daughter. And come October, we went on a field trip to the pumpkin patch, and Jamie went, and I went, and we were with our kids, and our kids are already friends, and so we ended up hanging out. We didn't know each other at all. We got to talking, and Jamie just kept telling me that I needed to meet her husband, and I was going to love her husband, and how awesome he was, and all this fantastic stuff. And so she set us up on a blind date with each other, and I'm not even joking. And we went to Buffalo Wild Wings, and she was right. I totally love her husband. I totally love Russ. And that day, I found out that he played guitar and led worship and all this stuff. And I asked him that day, I'm like, man, would you come in February and guest lead for us for our friend day on Super Bowl Sunday? I didn't know him, and I come home and I told Lisa, and she's like, what? You did what? You've never heard him play. I'm like, but I love him. It doesn't matter, all right? And thank God he was really good. I mean, really, really good. And so the next week we went to barbecue. Oh, man, that's a love. We share a love for barbecue. Went to Whole Hog. And I just begged him. I'm like, dude, I need you so. I need your help. Come help me. And Jamie's parents pastor a church here in Albuquerque, and they were serving there. And I was like, there's no way they'll leave the in-laws to come to Harvest. But they did. They totally did. And they've been such a blessing. But their real job is that they serve at a ministry called Young Life, and they've been on the UNM campus leading college students to Christ week after week. We support them, and you've heard from them, and they're family. You know their story, but they had an incredible opportunity. Russ is from Arkansas, and they got a call several months ago with an invitation to move back home to Arkansas to serve as the campus ministers there for Young Life, and we tried to talk him out of it. We're like, you don't want to do this. Then we gave him every convincing argument we could, but God won in the end. And so they are going to be moving about mid-May. They're going to be heading up to Arkansas to do this. And so we're sad because we love them so much, but we're excited because there's not a doubt in our minds that they are following the plan of God for their lives. And so the exciting part is that we'll have some family in Arkansas, and there's some really good duck hunting up there, and so I'm super excited about that. And we've supported them on a monthly basis, in part because they were leading worship, but we've been supporting Young Life since we met them. And so we told them, as soon as we found out, I said, listen, we're going to continue to support Young Life even in Arkansas, right? Because how many of you know people in Arkansas need Jesus, right? Probably even more than New Mexico, right? And so we're gonna support them, and we love them so much. They're not leaving till May, and so we'll pray over them and send them out. But we wanted to tell you that was happening. All right. And then one of the exciting things from 2017 was our Cuesta campus was in need of a campus pastor, and Johnny and Christy Gonzalez joined our team. Some of you have heard that story. It's literally nothing short of miraculous. These guys, how God, it was 17 years in the making, this story, and God called them to back home to Cuesta and partnered with us, and it's been phenomenal. The church is doing amazing. This morning, Johnny texted me several pictures. They're doing a big baby shower this afternoon for a woman in the community that needed some help, and sent me pictures of all the stuff they bought for him, a little pack and play and this and that, and diapers and all this stuff. And he said, Pastor, our saying is love your city, but they're in a village. They're in the village of Cuesta. So their saying is love your village. And they said, Pastor, we're loving our village. Check it out. Send me these pictures and just love what God is doing. And so check out the update from Johnny and Christy Gonzalez, Harvest Cuesta.
Hey everyone, it's Pastor Christy and Johnny here at Harvest Cuesta. We just want to share a quick testimony of all that's been
That video makes me so happy because it's so their personalities. Christy's like, la, 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 la. And then Johnny's like, hey, guys, we're so excited. And that is, he genuinely is excited. That is his excited face. And I just love, love, love those guys. So good things are happening across our church family. And we have so much to be thankful for. We're in a series right now called Life Hacks. And so before I get to the final page of our report, I want to kind of set you up for it by giving you a life hack. We're in this series called Life Hacks. And so I have a couple of life hacks for you. Thank you. You've been sending me some great life hacks. I've been enjoying it. And so Karen Gleason sent me one. If you have an opened bag, we tried it this week with an open bag of chocolate chips, you can use the top of a plastic water bottle. You cut it off and you thread the bag up through the lid and fold it over and then take the lid and put it back on there. And so my little chefs, Ava and Enid, they were making banana chocolate chip muffins, and we saved the rest of the bag with this little life hack. All right. So I don't know if you can see it well there. My wife sent me one, and this is going to reveal a lot, because the first week I showed you how to sprinkle Oreos on your ice cream. You can tell we love Oreos in my family, because Lisa sent me this one. This is how to properly, I'll call it this, baptize an Oreo, all right? So you stick a fork into the stuffing, and you dip it under the milk, and you say, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and you bring it up, and you just eat that whole thing, and it's just full of milk, and your fingers aren't messy. Some of you are going to try that this week. I promise you. You're going to be like, thank you, Pastor Lisa. That was the best thing that happened to me this week. And then Patty sent me one, how to store wrapping paper, because it can be a little unruly. You don't want it to unravel. So you take a tube from the toilet paper after you're finished, preferably, and you just cut it and then put it around the wrapping, and it just kind of holds it together. That's pretty amazing, right? Little life hacks. And this was my favorite one. Billy Warfield sent this one through his parents. He listened to the series and he called, said, I got a life hack for Pastor Jason. So what do you do if you accidentally fall asleep in a meeting? Okay, so this would really apply for, like, if you fall asleep during life group or something that's church related, and so you fall asleep, you know, and your head's down, and you realize, and what you don't want to do is like jerk your head up, right? So here's the life hack: just raise your head slowly, like you meant to do it, and say these words, "Amen, amen." Everyone will think you're the most holy person in the room, all right? And there's a little life hack. So if you fall asleep during church, just look at your spouse, say amen. They'll think you're in deep, deep prayer. So today we're going to talk about how to hack satisfaction. How to hack satisfaction. For many, holding on to satisfaction is like trying to hold on to water. It just slips through your hands. It's like you have it for a little bit and you lose it. You have it and you lose it. And for many, it's like the Rolling Stones saying, right? I can't get no satisfaction, right? Jose's going to sing it with me, right? I try and I try and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction, right? And for many, this is kind of the theme of their life. It's like, I've been looking, I've been searching, I've been trying, and I just can't seem to get it. So here's the hack. Here's how we hack satisfaction: is we hack it with generosity, with generosity. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 11:24. It says this: the world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. This is why it's our life hack. How do you hack satisfaction? Well, you practice generosity. Because see, the world tells you, right? Grab on to as much as you can. Hold on tightly to it. Hoard it away. Stock up. Stockpile. Get it, get it, get it, get it. But listen, I know the principle sounds backwards. Like, you know, be generous and just give it away. And, you know, but I'm just telling you, it's God's word, right? We started earlier in worship. We're going to replace lies with truth. The lie is that the more you gather, the more satisfied you are. But I'm just telling you, it is not true. And many of you already know this because you've already tried that method and it didn't work. The promise of God is that the more generous we are, the more satisfied our lives become. There's a verse in Luke chapter 6 that says this. It says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now I have to say, this is quite possibly the most misused verse in the Bible, because we go to this verse often to try to talk about finances. I mean, you've probably given in an offering at some time where this was the verse. It was like, look, give and it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, boiling over, right? You're going to be blessed. And let me just be honest. The principle does work for your finances, but this verse is not actually about finances. So let me give this disclaimer, this hack of hacking satisfaction with generosity. I'm not really talking about finances. We will a little bit, but I'm talking about a bigger picture here. I'm talking about practicing generosity in every part of our lives. You see, the verse right before this gives context. And here's what it says. It says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And now in context, right after that, it says, give and it will be given, right? It says, a good measure, press down, right? You see the context here? It's not about finance. So let me make three quick statements about generosity and how it helps us to hack satisfaction. Number one, give understanding rather than judgment. Give understanding, not judgment. In other words, be generous with your understanding. Most of us don't like to be judged ourselves. Most of us don't like when other people make judgments about us, about your decisions or your actions or your, you know, whatever. We don't like it. In fact, just do a quick search on Instagram for the hashtag don't judge me, all right? Hashtag don't judge me. And you see tons of people. It's like this. It's like a picture of a pizza. Don't judge me, right? Like, don't judge my eating habits. Don't judge, you know, what I'm choosing to do here. We don't like to be judged, and yet snap judgments have become, they become common today. We make judgments about people based on what they're wearing or where they're at or what they said or a political party or they're a part of this or a part of that. And so what I'm trying to help you, okay, hack satisfaction. It's hard to be satisfied when we're constantly judging other people, when we're constantly holding them to a standard that we don't even hold ourselves to. Because listen, the more critical we are of others, the less satisfied we are in our own lives. The more critical we are of others, the less satisfaction we seem to find in our own lives, because criticism erodes our satisfaction. It slowly eats away at our satisfaction. A couple of years ago, the girls were on spring break, and we were just, you know, pretty new back to New Mexico, and we hadn't been to Carlsbad Caverns yet, and so we went down to Carlsbad Caverns and met Mitch and Ashley down there, and we spent a couple of days, and we toured the caverns, and a lot of you have been there, but one of the most impressive parts of the caverns, you get down in there, and you see these enormous and beautiful formations called stalagmites and stalactites. Have you seen these, or at least seen pictures? And the way these formations work is that slowly over time, drip after drip of water coming down through the soil and bringing the minerals down with it, drip after drip, these gigantic formations form. I mean, they're hanging from the ceiling, they're growing up from the floor, and it's absolutely beautiful. But I thought of this as I thought about how that a critical spirit will slowly eat away at your satisfaction. It's not overnight. But as we judge, as we're critical, as we're pointing things out in other people's lives, it's like that slow buildup of deposits in our heart. It's just that slow, you know, drip, drop into our hearts, and it eats away at our satisfaction. And what Jesus is trying to say to us in these verses is that we should practice understanding, that we should seek to understand someone else's point of view. Lisa came home from the IF conference, and they had shown a video about these two women. I think I got it right here. That they were both Democrats, and they noticed that every time they got in a conversation with Republicans, that it was just instantly fighting, or it was just they were fighting. And so they did this experiment where it was like, let's sit down with someone with an opposing view with the intention to understand. And there was this whole thing about how different that experience was from going in with this, I'm going to judge, I'm going to be critical, we're going to fight. And see, Jesus would want us to understand. And I'll just say this, and we'll move to the next one. To withhold judgment is a good thing. But that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to just withhold judgment, because the next step to seek understanding is a generous thing. I'm not asking you not just to judge, but take the next step and literally give someone the benefit of the doubt. Give someone, the ability to converse with you about a difference. Seek to understand. Hack satisfaction with generosity. Number two, give grace, not a grudge. Give grace, not a grudge. There's a part of the verse there. It says, forgive and you will be forgiven. I don't know if you would admit this morning, but my first reaction often is not grace. In fact, I kind of like holding grudges. It comes naturally, right? I don't know. It's that critical nature. It comes naturally to me. In fact, it shows up even in little ways. Lisa and I were in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. We had some time to ourselves, and so we wanted to go to a movie. So we went to the theater, and we're pulling in. And as we're pulling in, I spotted a parking spot, a really good parking spot. And in my world, when I see the spot, it becomes mine, right? It's like dibs. That is my spot, right? And a car came around the corner, and I know I saw it before he did, because he wasn't even in that lane at that time. But this person had the audacity to park in my spot. And I kind of let out a noise. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, ugh, or whatever. And Lisa's like, what? I'm like, he took my spot. It's like, what nerve, And listen, it's kind of comical when we get, these little grudges over things like a parking spot, because listen, it's not the end of the world. I pulled around the corner, I found another one, and I prayed that God would heap burning coals on that person's head, all right? So problem solved, we're done, all right? But listen, it's tragic when you're holding a grudge over something more than a parking spot. It's tragic when you're holding a grudge that's old, right? That's months old or years old that you can't get past. And this is what I just think you need to hear this morning. Give grace. How about this? What would you want someone to give you if the tables were turned, right? Isn't it interesting that we want grace for our own lives, but we're so stingy with it when it comes to other people's? I'm telling you, it's hard to be satisfied when you hold a grudge. It's hard to be satisfied when you're holding on to the hurt and the pain and the thing that happened to you. Here's why it's tragic. When we hold on to a grudge, the grudge also holds on to you. See, the lie of holding a grudge is that you are in control. The lie is that you're holding it and you can let go whenever you want. But the nature of holding a grudge is that it also wraps its tentacles around your heart. And what I'm telling you this morning is that it squeezes out the satisfaction. So give grace. Forgive. Because forgiveness is not just for the other person. It also sets you free. Here's the third thing. Give generously, not reluctantly. Give generously, not reluctantly. This verse is often used to describe finances, but as we've said, it's really about so much more. What Jesus is really saying is invest in eternal things and you will find satisfaction. Invest in eternal things. A couple of weeks ago, Lisa and I, we were qualified through our phone company for the upgrade, and I've been holding off and trying to milk everything out of that our last phone. But you know, they just, I don't know what they do, but they behind the scenes, they're pushing buttons and making your phone not work anymore. And I mean, it was like we're just really struggling. Finally, I'm like, all right, let's go get new phones. So we got new phones, and we were pretty excited about it. But I have two observations. I got the new phone, and number one, I almost fainted when I found out how much it was going to cost me. I mean, I went in, I'm like, oh, I want a new phone, you know, and they told me how much it was. I'm like, are you kidding me? I have three kids at home. I mean, you can't do that to me. Like, you might as well cut my arm off. It would cost less. Like, I mean, I just couldn't believe it, right? But number two, I realized that for about 2 days, my new phone made me feel really, really good. Like, my new phone takes better pictures. And so I was volunteering. Like, we can take it with my phone. Have you used the portrait thing on it yet? Did you know it does this? Did you know it does that? And for about 2 days, I felt really, literally, my new thing made me feel good. Does anyone else relate? Might not be a phone for you. Maybe it's a shoe or a car or a house or a neighborhood or a fish. I don't know, something. Listen, but here's the principle, okay? Is that when you invest in temporary things, your satisfaction is also temporary. When you invest in temporary things, the satisfaction only lasts until the new wears off. It only lasts until the new model is released. It only lasts, watch this, until someone gets one bigger or better than the one you have. Have you ever noticed that? All of a sudden, the satisfaction. You used to be satisfied with what you had, but it's temporary because sooner or later, someone will get a newer one, a bigger one, a better one, a one that does this or does that, that yours does. And all of a sudden, yours is not quite as satisfying. But if you invest in eternal things, then your satisfaction is also eternal. That's where I wanted to bring us today. So if you want to go to the final page in your report, I want to celebrate a couple of things as we look back at last year, because this is our financial report. And again, this is open, we're transparent, we give it to everyone, guest, member, doesn't matter, because we have nothing to hide, that's why. By the way, this is a snapshot. It doesn't give, like, details, okay? If you want details, come talk to me, and we can do it. We can give you details. I can print. I have a three-inch binder full of last year's details, all right? We can figure out what we spent on paper clips. We can figure out how much the popcorn cost, the coffee. If you need that, like we have nothing to hide, okay? But I figure most of you probably don't need all those details. The board looks at them every time. But I do want you to see a snapshot. And part of why this is so important is because this snapshot backs up what we're talking about today, that you can hack satisfaction with generosity, and that the promises of God when it comes to generosity are absolutely true. What you see here in 2013 and in 2014, you begin to see a shift. You begin to see what happens when a church gets intentional about generosity. And then you see in 2016, we made the big decision that we're now going to tithe as a church. What we said in 2016 is if tithing works for an individual or for a family, then it ought to work for a church as well. And so 2016 and 17 and now 18, I'm just telling you, 10% of every dollar that comes in immediately, right off the top, I mean, week after week, because it's first. That's a principle of the tithe. It's the first fruit, is that immediately, week after week, we take the 10% and we give it to missions. I mean, immediately. We don't wait. In fact, this has revolutionized how we give. We're not doing like in the old days. We'd have an envelope to give, and there were like 14 categories to give to, and we had faith promises for this and for that. And listen, here's what I'm asking: if you will practice the principle of the tithe, which I'm not here to argue that today, but it is absolutely biblical and it absolutely works. If you'll practice that, we'll practice it as well, and I promise you, we will give more than we've ever even imagined we were capable of if we'll work together. And what you see here is you see that as we have given, and listen, don't get the message wrong, okay? This is not a you do this and this happens, okay? But I'm just, look at the pattern. The more we give away, the more God provides for our own needs. And what you can't see here, so 2017, it shows that we gave missions and outreach $111,067.70. But that's not it. That's not the end of the story. There's several things that if you gave, you got a giving letter for the year. What we actually gave was $155,951.11. There's some categories like Feed One. We gave almost $13,000 to Feed One last year, Feed Children in Haiti. There's things like Bike for the Light. We gave 20-something thousand to Bike for the Light. And those categories, the money never came to our harvest account and then back out. It went straight to those organizations. So we get those reports. You have to add that to this, all right? And I'm just telling you, like, there's an enormous list of people and missions and churches. We help plant churches this year. We gave to missionaries. We supported Young Life. We supported Chi Alpha. We supported Convoy of Hope. We fed kids in Haiti. I can't give you an exhaustive list just off the, but I'm telling you, we've been able to participate in God's kingdom around the world, and it's been incredible. And the verse I'll go back to is this: the world of the generous gets larger and larger. As we give, God just continues to bless and give more opportunities, but he also continues to stretch us and say, but what else could you do, Harvest? Will you say yes? Will you go? Will you give? And so tomorrow morning, I'm getting on an airplane with Mitch and a couple of other pastors and some guys from their churches, and we're headed to Panama. And because of your generosity, I mean, we've been planning this for months, and so we've been putting money, missions money, aside. So tomorrow morning when I get on a plane to Panama, we're taking $20,000 with us because of your generosity, and we're going to build a church in Panama. We're going to a remote village there in Panama. We're going to build a church during the day. We're going to physically construct the building, and then at night we're going to hold crusades, evangelistic meetings, and we're going to preach the gospel. We're going to give people opportunity to find Jesus. We're going to pray for people to be healed. We're going to see miracles happen. We're going to believe for people to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen, the ticket, okay, you can buy a ticket to Panama right now, okay, but the ticket to advance the kingdom of God in Panama is happening not because we bought a plane ticket. That was the easy part. It happened because week after week after week, you are practicing generosity. But let me show you. As we've done that, God's also taken really good care of us. We've been able to make some massive strides here, right? I mean, I don't know if you've noticed the new lighting, and I mean, it's so, I don't even think they have it all the way up, but it's, there we go, it's so bright. We've been upgrading things and upgrading the stuff. We're remodeling our kitchen right now, and some of you have been wondering, because we ripped it apart, that's how I do things. It's like, let's just start, and we'll figure it out. We ripped it apart. We have cabinets coming in April. We finally got the cabinets coming, and God's allowing us to take care of that. And I'm excited about this. Lisa talked about camps coming up this summer. And I am so happy about this. And our students are going to be even more happy. But because of your generosity, we are buying, like I just signed the deal yesterday, we're buying a new van that will help us. See how excited they are? So the old, we had a newer van and an older van, and the students would fight because the older van didn't have air conditioning. And so they had to like rotate because they'd have to stop. They'd be all red-faced, and I'm finally, I'm like, this is not, I mean, they're kids and we can get away with a lot, but this is not, I'm excited. That's a picture. That's our new van. We got to go pick it up. It's an Artesia. If anyone's going, help me. We'll get it up here. But so excited about what God is doing. And I'm just, the scripture is so true. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller, but the world of the generous gets larger and larger. Worship team, why don't you join me? One thing I do need to do part of our annual meetings, we've got to approve or accept these finances. And listen, I'm not trying to push this through. If you have questions, you know, I mean, I promise there is nothing. We're way above board, totally transparent. We would love to answer questions. If you want more details, we can absolutely do that. But do I have a motion to accept these financials? Karen, second from Jacob. Can I take that as a second? All those in favor? Arr. Isn't that fun? Now I want to pray for you. I want to take you back to our theme verse for the year. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Can we say it together? I like when you say it because I think it builds your faith. Does it build your faith? It builds my faith. I'm going to Panama tomorrow with this in my heart. God can do anything, right? Like, what if you went to work tomorrow saying, God can do anything, right? What if you dropped your kids off at school and they thought as they walked into their classroom, God can do anything? Like, that's why we're doing this, right? So let's just say it together. One, two, three. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit, deeply and gently within us. Harvest, I want to pray for you today. I know some of you are highly satisfied, but I know others of you are struggling. It's that trying to hold on to water, right? It's like, I have it, and then I can't keep it, and it's here, and then it's gone, and it's just, I want to live that. Let me give you one more verse. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this. He said, I have come that you may have life. And this is the kind of life, life to the full. Doesn't that sound like a satisfying life? Life to the full. And so I'm going to pray for you, but I don't know if you'll like believe me or not. So if you don't believe me, just believe God's word. The way you hack satisfaction is through generosity. You be generous in your understanding. Be generous in your grace. Yes, be generous with your money. Be generous with your talent, right? One of the things that excited me so much about our students this week in fine arts, I love that they came home with medals and certificates. But listen, you know what I loved? Is this morning, a whole bunch of them, like most of them, were back. They were serving in our 9 o'clock service. They were changing diapers and watching kids and in preschool. And they were at the door, opening the door and passing out bulletins. And they were serving. They were baking cookies. They're up in the sound booth. There's our student. And I'm just telling you, okay? Our students are on to something. That when you are generous with your time and your talent, your resource, and I'm just telling you, your life is so much more satisfying. Why don't you stand with me? I'm going to pray over you. And if you're here today and you're like, Pastor, I need satisfaction, right? This is your chance, all right? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to, you just respond right now, right where you're at. You respond to God. And why don't we commit? Why don't we commit to a generous life? And listen, it scares me every time I say this, okay? But I have this really big dream, okay? So four years ago, we were given $34,000 to missions, and God put it in my heart. I don't know how it's going to happen, but God can do anything, you know? I have this dream in my heart that there will be a single year, that we'll give $1 million to missions. And the only way that's going to happen We're going to have to grow, and we're going to have to keep giving. We're going to have to be generous, right? But here's what I know. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, right? Yeah, and when Lisa wins the Powerball, too, it's going to happen, all right? Let's pray. Father, I just pray right now. God, we thank you. Today's exciting. We're looking back, and we're celebrating, and there's a lot of good, but we don't want to stay where we are. We believe there's more available. We believe that God can do anything. We're asking that, God, in this coming year, that you would do more than we could ask or imagine or request in our wildest dreams. We're asking, God, I'm asking this for our church, but we're also asking for every family here today, that you would surprise us, you'd bless us, you'd help us. And God, as a church, as that happens, we're committing, we're going to do more. We're going to plant more churches. We're going to build more churches. We're going to give. We're going to serve. We're going to love. We're going to keep going, God. And we're believing that that 18 will be another banner year for us, God, as we respond to your promises. But God, I know this morning there are some that have come that they are not satisfied right now. They're not living that life that you promised in John 10, that life to the full. God, I pray, God, this morning that as we commit to living generous lives, to being generous with our grace, being generous with our giving, being generous with our time, God, I pray, God, that you would help us to hack satisfaction, and that, God, your word would be true, that as we give in every capacity, that our world would get bigger and bigger and bigger, and we'd become more and more satisfied. God, I pray that over every family today, over every person today, every marriage today, every student today, God, the world around us would get bigger and bigger as we trust you, as we believe in you, as we put our faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Harvest, as you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.